The Poskim discussed in the context of Mechiras Chametz, what's the halacha about a sale which is valid according to halacha, but wouldn't be valid according to the local law, the secular law? This is something, again, that's many of the shalos in Mechiras Chametz, it's relevant in other areas of halacha too, but there's a lot of discussion about it in the halachas of Mechiras Chametz. This shaila is discussed primarily in the 19th century. The poskim in Europe in the 19th century raised three or four reasons for why a typical shtar from Mechiras Chametz would not be valid according to the law. One of them is the language. This is something that I think we're not used to. It doesn't apply in American law, but back then the governments were machbid that the shtar had to be written in the official language, German, or the official language of the country. A shtar in Hebrew or Yiddish, which the Jews spoke and knew, wasn't valid. Today, I think, rather shtar any language you want, it's binding, but back then, the shtar had to be written in German and whatever the official language was. If it wasn't, it wouldn't be valid. Second issue is the stempel, the stamp. This was, we may remember this from American history, the Stamp Act, one of the causes of the revolution. This was an idea that the government wanted, it was a form of tax, basically, regulation and tax. They wanted to control documents and even not legal things like journalism, but for our purposes, it was official documents. They had to be written on special paper, stamped paper that was purchased from the government, and they would charge you for it, and it would be a form of tax. And the implication of the poskim is that a shtar that was written on non-stamped paper would not be valid. If you went to court with such a shtar, they would throw you out. Whatever implies that you could pay the tax then, maybe, but in general, when the tax wasn't paid, then the shtar would not be respected in court. Now, again, we don't have it today, and certainly not in the U.S., you know, there's no need for any special stamp tax paper. There was a third issue that the post can talk about, that it wasn't clear, b'chlal, that the governments recognized these types of shtaras. The governments thought they were just for ritual purposes, for religious purposes. So that itself, the government just might not take the whole shtar seriously. So we discussed that everywhere in Mechiras Chametz in the context of Harama, that just personally the guy doesn't take the shtar very seriously. But here there's another problem. Whether the guy personally does or doesn't take it seriously, the question is, will the court take it seriously? Does the law take such a shtar seriously? That was a third issue that maybe, and again, a third reason why the law might not recognize such a shtar. So the key question the post can discuss is, for any of all of these reasons why the law might not recognize the validity of the shtar, do we care? If, according to halacha, the sale is valid, but the law doesn't recognize it, does that matter? Do we say, as long as we follow the halacha, we don't care what the law thinks, the halacha is important? Do we say, no, especially when you're dealing with a guy, then the sale has to be valid according to the law of the land, the laws that goyim follow. So this is a machlokus among the achronim. Most achronim say it's okay if it's valid according to halacha. Poskim actually discussed the reverse case too. Back when we discussed kinyanim, poskim discussed whether a sale which is valid according to the law but not valid according to halacha, that's kind of the mirror image of this question. But tonight I want to focus on the first version of the question, a sale which is valid according to halacha but not valid according to the law. What is the halacha? So the first and foremost of the gedolei achronim who was mefakfek, who felt it was a problem, was Reb Baruch Tilman Frankel. He's mentioned both in the Chasam Sofer, one of his tshuvas, he quotes him. He's also mentioned briefly by the Divrei Chaim, his father-in-law, quotes his opinion. He seems to have felt that it was a problem. And the way the Chasam Sofer tells it, he says there was a story once where troublemakers, Malshinim, Mosrim, reported to the government that the Jews were not buying stamp paper for the Chametz sales. So the Malshinim told the government they're breaking the law. So the king, the czar, in his great chassidus and yashrus, he didn't want to bother the Jews. So he said, oh, it's no problem, he said. It's only a religious thing, das, religion, it's nothing, he says, and then no stamps for this kind of sale. So some people felt, or Baruch Tilman Frankel felt, the government's telling us they don't consider it a real sale. And if that's true, then it has no stamp and it's not a real sale, the government doesn't think it's a sale, maybe we're in trouble. So the Chasam Sofer disagreed. The Chasam Sofer said, in principle, it sounds like he might have agreed that if it really wasn't recognized as valid by the government, it sounds like, at least for the sake of argument, he considered such a possibility, that if the government would tell you flat out, we don't consider this a valid sale, that might be a problem. However, he says, that's not what the government was doing. What the government was doing was that the stamp was basically a tax, and the government was being nice. They were saying, we understand this is not business, we understand no one's making profit here, Our job is to, our goal is to tax business. We're not out to make trouble. People are just trying to do a ritual thing for chametz. So even though we technically recognize it as a valid sale, it doesn't matter. We don't choose to tax it. But they weren't saying that they don't recognize it as a valid sale. Therefore, the Chasam Sofer felt that it was fine. There's a similar svara, which is mentioned briefly in passing by Rav Avram of Bashach, the Eishel Avram, and other svarim. He has a note in Hakdama to the Sefer Netash Hashuim, where in the middle of a discussion about Mechir Samet, where he actually had some major chumras over there, but in the context of his discussion, he writes that the reason Mechir Samet is okay, even though we don't have the tax, we don't pay the stamp tax, he says, is because the government is telling us that a sale which is only expected to be for 7 days doesn't get taxed. Not that they're saying that since it's a sale for such a short time, it's not valid at all. It is valid, but it's as long as it only lasts for a limited period of time, it's not permanent, the government doesn't see a need to tax it. So again, the government is telling you that this sale is not valid past 7 days, or if it is, it has to be taxed. That doesn't mean that for the duration of Pesach, he seems to hold, he's not 100% sure what he's saying, but more or less, that's what he's telling us. The government is, again, choosing not to tax, but it doesn't mean that it's not a valid sale. The Devrichayim was asked about the fact that the shtaros were in Yiddish or Hebrew, not in German. Someone felt this was a real problem, that it wouldn't be since it's legally not binding, then it shouldn't be a good sale for halacha either. Devar Chaim says he disagrees. He says it is binding just because it's not, the law doesn't consider such a shtar valid, we don't care. It's valid according to halacha. And he tells the shoel, if you're really worried that all the I's be dotted and T's be crossed and it be valid under the law, we have other problems here, he says. Besides the question of the language, he says, it's just a ritual thing. The government doesn't take it seriously, b'chlal. The government doesn't, it's a law that any shtar which is not for commercial purposes is b'chlal not binding. And it doesn't have the shtempel, he says. The other problem, all three problems, he says. If you're really worried that the shtar be valid under secular law, he says, then we're in trouble. The teretz is, it's not a problem, he says, that it's okay. As long as al pi halacha, it is valid, that is fine. And therefore he says, and Adrab, he says, it's better not to write the shtar in German, he says, because we don't speak German, the Sofer and the Tmidachom, they don't know German, he says, it's hard enough. He says that the shtar Mechir Eschamet is difficult to get right, he says, and he wrote a nusach. Many poskim wrote nuschos to give us the proper language. You have to be very careful, he says. You know, all the phrasing is tricky and difficult to get right. If we start telling them now, convert that all into German, when they barely speak German, he says, as it is, he says it's not kedai. He says it's going to make things worse. Therefore, he says, leave it in Hebrew or Yiddish. Leave it in a language we understand. We'll get it right. It'll be valid according to halacha. We don't care if it is valid according to the law or not. Now, there's an interesting, another approach taken to this question, both by the Chesed Avram, as well as the Avnei Nezer. They bring a Gemara, the Gemara in Bava Kamma. The Gemara in Bava Kamma says, not talking about Mechiras Chametz, just talking about a Jew's commercial dealings with a guy in general. The Gemara in Bava Kamma says that when a Jew has a dispute with a guy, and they go to Beis Din, so if the answer comes out different in law and halacha, in secular law and halacha, so which system do you follow? So the Gemara says that basically we follow whatever's better for the Jew. If according to halacha, the Jew wins, and according to the law, the guy wins, we tell the guy, kach dinenu, our law, our halacha follows this way, so we award the money to the Jew. If the law, secular law, favors the Jew and halacha favors the guy, so we tell the guy, kach dinchem, according to your own law, this is the system that we follow, and therefore the Jew is going to win. Now there is a major question, after Nezer deals with this, there is a major question in the poskim, how to understand this. Is the pshat that the real, quote-unquote, the real halacha that applies here is Jewish law, halacha, just that we have the right to say kach tinchem as a form of hafka salva, as a form of permissible finagling the guy, but really the halacha is dinenu, or is the real halacha, so to speak, dinchem, and the other way around, dinenu is just a form of hafka salva or toas akum, just to avoid chil Hashem, we find an excuse, we tell him kach dinenu, or neither somehow, is it halacha somewhere in between, follows both ways. So the Avnei Nezer has a long discussion on this question of whether a mechira which is only valid according to the mechira which is only valid according to the halacha, not according to the law, is good. At one point, he wants to be told on the shaila if the pshat is that be'ikr we follow our law, just that we have the right to tell him kach dinchem Okay, so then, according to our halacha, it's his chametz, and shalom al Yisrael, and everything's fine. But if the pshat is the ikar halacha follows dinehem, then we have a problem, because according to dinehem, he's not kana, and therefore we have a problem of bal yirah. So Rav Nezer goes back and forth on this question, long, complicated tshuva, didn't have a chance to go through the whole thing yet, but he also goes back and forth in a tshuva with his father, actually trying to figure out whether, according to halacha, we care about dinehem, and he wants to be told based on that sugya.
Rabbi Grossman, in a contractual dealing between two parties, isn't it most important what the two parties come to agreement? Who cares whether the government cares?
Well, not necessarily, because if the government decides,
you accept my contract.
But if the government decides the contract is not valid and not enforceable, and the government won't honor it, and obviously, as long as both of us are happy and not complaining, the government is not going to step in and get involved. But if either of us change our mind, or if one of us passes on, and the Yarshim come, and then they don't accept it, if they go back and dig up the deed from 50 years ago and say this was never properly executed. The fact that we were both happy and none of us ever had any intention of reneging, but the government, again, I'm not a lawyer, I can't tell you exactly what a court would do if it's been this way for 50 years already, but the point is, the law, just like halacha, has the notion of a kinyan. The law says some contracts are binding and some are not, and it's true that as long as no one's complaining, that neither basin nor the law is going to step in, but it's important to know whether in the theoretical, the way the law looks at it, is it binding or is it not binding, and not all contracts are binding.
So even if the Kona says, this is fine for me, I'm accepting your purchase, and he says, the government thinks is not important to me, it's irrelevant, I'm going to buy
it. It doesn't necessarily matter. That's what some poskim say. Some poskim, the Rechaim was saying, the Rechaim brings in the end of his tshuva that his father-in-law, the Baruch Tam, did used to write the Shtaris in German, he wasn't sure, Rafia Biade, but also he was apparently, Shitasi with what he said in the Chassam Sefer, he was concerned that the Shtar be valid according to the law. The Chesed Lavram has an interesting idea. He wants to say that, in principle, he feels that we follow Dinei Yisrael, and it would be okay, as long as it's valid according to Halach. However, he says, since, as we discussed in the beginning of Mechiras Chametz, we don't have such great kinyanim, we have to rely on kinyanim which might only be drabanan, like Agav, and like Chalipin, and like Situmta. We rely on kinyanim that might only be drabanan. So he has an elaborate pilpul to argue that a kinyan drabanan, when dealing with a guy, only works if it's also valid according to the law. The Chazal weren't always misakin for Gaiim, but if the guy has that law anyway, if under his law it's valid, then they say the Kinyan Drabanan works. But if you make a Kinyan Daraisa, then he agrees with the Divrei Chaim, it's no problem, we follow Dinei Yisrael. But if it's only a Kinyan Drabanan, then for reasons he develops at some length, then he feels it might have to be valid in Dinei HaGaiim too. Now he says he's only saying this to justify what he said was the Minhag HaMakom. He claims the Minhag was, they used to insist on writing the shtaros in the vernacular. But Rav Chaim says it was not the minhag and we shouldn't change it. Again, people lived in different places, different communities had different minhagim, but he says the minhag was actually to be makbid to write it in a way that it would be legally binding in the vernacular, and he wants to justify that lemaisa for the technical reasons he gives, that if you're doing a kinyan drabanan, then you do have to have a shtar that is valid according to law. Again, he says, at the end of the tshuva, he goes back again and says that there is a way to be mekel. But he has a good side. He says the minhag was to write in foreign languages. Most of the poskim say it wasn't. They used to write in Hebrew. Although the truth is, there are some poskim who try to split the difference. So there are some poskim who would add a clause that the shtar would be written in Hebrew or Yiddish. But they would say there would be a clause that the guy has the right to make a translation of the shtar into the vernacular, and it will be a valid copy and legally valid. Div Malkiel and his Shtar Mechira says that the reason we add this clause in is because we want to satisfy this idea that the Shtar has to be valid according to the law of the land. Now Lamaisi says there is another problem raised by some of the poskim, Div Rechaim and others, that say that certain types of purchases, real estate primarily, have to be registered with the land registry. And in the U.S. it's a different system. In the U.S., any title executed locally is in some local court is valid. That's why we have to pay hundreds of dollars for a title search company, because there is no central registry where everything is registered. Any title anywhere is good. Any lien anywhere is valid. Most other countries have a different system, that the titles and liens are only valid if they're centrally registered. And the law in many European countries for a long time was that real estate transactions were not valid unless they were centrally registered. Eretz Yisrael, many European countries. So the Divrei Chaim and the Divrei Malkiel and others raised the problem that if it's not properly registered, it won't. The chametz itself was metalton, you don't have the problem. But if you're selling the house, you're selling the place where the chametz was, Rashag raises this question also, that you need to have a properly registered sale. So they say that the, one of the hates was that if you say a copy can be made and he has the right to go get it registered, somehow that's enough. I'm not entirely sure why. If it wasn't actually registered yet, I'm not sure why it should be enough. But the Divrei Hilkel says that we yotze at least some of these concerns by writing that the shtar may be translated and then may be taken to get registered if necessary. You alleviate at least some of the concern by at least giving the possibility of getting it done formally, even if all the formal steps haven't been taken yet. I just want to mention one last Maor Makom, going away from Chometz for a minute. There's a very interesting and little known piece by the Bachacher again, Eishel Avram, who when Chometz says it's he seems to imply again that it would have to be valid legally. He just felt that it was. He says in Ksuvus, he tells a story that when he was once Mesadr Kedushin, he says apparently his custom was that they used to write the Ksuva on the stamped paper so that it should be valid as a legal document. There was a famous paper a number of years ago by Rabbi Michael Breuer and Rabbi Yonah Reis discussing whether, among other things, whether a Ksuva would be valid in court. They weren't sure. It hadn't been litigated that often, they said, one or two cases. But the Ezer Mikodesh, the Eishel Avram Sefer on Ebenezer, he says he once made the mistake and he wrote the Ksuva on paper that wasn't stamped paper. It wasn't official government paper. It's a big problem, he says. Yesh Lizar, that the shtar has to be valid. Particularly in Ksuva, he says, because Ksuva needs smichas das. We want the woman to be secure and confident that the Ksuva is enforceable. Today, I mean, nobody knows what a Ksuva is and nobody expects to get it, but Poskim say that she has to think that her Ksuva is a meaningful document, and if she knows that in court they wouldn't uphold it, it might be a problem. So he says that there was a real problem, but they had a Tosefes Ksuva, they had a different shtar which was valid, which they could use for the Ksuva that was on stamped paper. The Shal Vinishal also, and Gerbo also says that the minhag was to do the Ksuva in such a way that it would be valid. Again, so that doesn't necessarily mean from Mechiras Chametz, over the Ksuva we have an additional concern of Smichas Das, but also by Chametz, where there's always a problem of Harama, the Rav Poskim would suggest that the Shtar Mechiras Chametz really should be done in a way that it is valid according to the secular law.